Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition Radio. I'm your host, Lacey Dunn, registered dietitian, here to spread the scientific knowledge in the world of fitness and nutrition. I'm so excited about today's episode, so make sure you listen in and get ready to learn. Hey, y'all, welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition Radio. Today, I have Dr. Heather Finley, and I'm so stoked to have her on my podcast. You guys, she is a wealth of knowledge. She posts incredible little graphics all about gut health, the gut-brain connection, you name it. So Heather, I'm stoked to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on. And can you tell my listeners a little bit about who you are, your background, and what makes you so passionate about gut health?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here. My name is Dr. Heather Finley, and I am a registered dietitian based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm originally from California, but have been in Texas almost as long as I ever lived in California, which is crazy. But went to school at TCU and got my undergrad and master's there, and then went on to get my doctorate at Maryland University of Integrative Health. And I've had a passion for gut health my whole life, mostly because I struggled with my own issues and really just kind of made myself my own case study, trying to figure out how I could get to the bottom of my issues and how I could find relief. And spent years and years going from doctor to doctor, didn't really have any solution. Even after graduating from undergrad, didn't have a ton of insight as to how to heal my gut issues. And when I found functional nutrition and integrative health, I really started to understand the whole picture. And so I'm super passionate about connecting the dots for people and helping them find relief from all types of gut issues.
I love it. And you can so see your passion in everything that you do and everything that you share. Can you tell me a little bit more about your story? I know my listeners would absolutely love to hear that.
Yeah. So I was the kid that always had ear infections and was on a ton of antibiotics growing up, even had like severe rashes and allergic reactions to a lot of the antibiotics. And I truly believe that's where my gut issues started, with all of the antibiotics that I had, as well as just probably some genetic components, but really just struggled my whole life. And honestly, no one could really help me. It kind of became like a joke that I was always constipated and always having these issues, but like secretly was just really miserable and couldn't really advocate for myself, especially when I was young. And so, like I said, really just made myself my own case study. Even through college, really struggled. I was a competitive swimmer and swam in college as well. And, you know, my gut issues really peaked, I would say, in college. I think a lot due to stress. And I think that's where slowly I started connecting the dots that gut health is so much more than just food and what you eat. Obviously, that's a part of it, but it's not the entire part. But it wasn't really until I started controlling my stress, looking into thyroid, which I didn't realize I had hypothyroidism, and really connecting the dots there, that I was able to slowly find relief. I really thought like, oh, if I just avoid these certain foods, or if I just do this, then I'll feel better. And I think like a lot of my clients, I had a lot of hope thinking, okay, this is going to be the next thing that like fixes me, but never really did until I started looking at it from a holistic perspective and looking at all the underlying root cause issues of why I was having the symptoms that I was having.
Root cause dietitian, I absolutely love it. All about not band-aiding it. I'm so sick and tired of just band-aiding things, throwing birth control at people, just saying, oh, take this probiotic, take these digestive enzymes, and not diving into why is somebody struggling in the first place.
Absolutely. I think that is a huge misconception and a big like missing link in our healthcare system. And so I'm happy to be someone who can bridge the gap for people. And I know that you do that for your clients as well.
I love it. So let's first talk about, why does gut health even matter? Why should we care about our gut?
gut health matters because, in my opinion, and I think the research would support this, the gut is the command center of the body. It's your second brain, and the gut controls so many things. Your gut affects your hormones. Your gut affects your energy levels. Your gut is where you actually digest and absorb your food. And I guess to simply put it, if you're not digesting and absorbing your food well because you have gut issues, that's obviously going to affect the other parts of your body. So gut issues can show up even in ways that you wouldn't expect. I think people think, well, I'm not constipated or I'm not bloated. I don't have gut issues. But oftentimes it can show up like hypothyroidism or hormone issues or sleep issues. And we're starting to link all of this back to the gut. So the gut matters because it really is the powerhouse and it's where everything connects. So focusing on gut health really does improve so many other aspects of your life.
100%. Our gut is one of the most important things that we need to take care of. 80% of our immune system is within our gut. We know serotonin is created in our gut. So our happy neurotransmitter, I think it's like 70 to 80%. And then we know thyroid conversion, 20% of our thyroid from T4 inactive to T3 active is converted in our gut. And then, of course, there's the gut microbiome, short chain fatty acids, you name it, all these things that impact our overall health, our immune system, and our metabolism. So I like to say, like, if you are not focusing on gut health, if you do not have a healthy gut, you don't have a healthy body.
Yes, absolutely. I think, like you said, mood, you know, your gut is responsible for so many different byproducts that affect inflammation in the body, mood, and like you said, thyroid. So really you have to start there oftentimes when you're working to treat someone with, you know, whatever the condition might be.
Exactly. So I wanted to dive into some causes, common causes of bloating and digestive distress and give some people some practical tips and tools to figure out how they can best help themselves.
Okay, sure. So bloating can be caused by so many different things. I often see bloating as a result of dysbiosis or what is known as an imbalance of good and bad bacteria in the gut. So you have a bunch of angry bacteria in your gut and not enough good ones to fight off the bad guys. And that can definitely cause bloating. One of the other reasons that I see bloating is actually just because people do not eat in a slow, relaxed manner. So if you're chowing down your food, you're not chewing well, you're really stressed while you're eating, that's definitely going to cause bloat. Some other lifestyle things that would cause bloat would be like chewing gum, using straws, smoking, etc. But one of the biggest things that I see with my clients really is just not taking the adequate time to sit down and enjoy a meal and relax and breathe and chew and really digest and absorb your food. Bloating can be caused from infections like SIBO and H. pylori. There's so many different reasons, but those would probably be the top ones. And as far as practical tips, the first thing that I would say is take the time to eat a meal. Don't work while you're eating. Sit down and chew and enjoy your food. And trust me, I am guilty of this as well. I am not perfect. Just because I am a dietitian does not mean that I do all of this perfectly. But sit down, chew your food, enjoy your meal, take a couple deep breaths before you eat and really relax your body so it's ready to rest and digest. Get enough sleep. If you're not sleeping well, you are not going to digest your food as well because your body needs rest to actually rest and digest your food. And then I guess the other thing that I didn't mention earlier, but I often see people bloated because they are grazing throughout the day instead of eating full adequate meals. So it's a common misconception that I see that people want to control their bloat by just eating small bits and pieces at a time instead of taking a couple hours in between and eating an adequate meal. And so it's easy to understand why, you know, that might help your bloat, but the reality is your body has its own cleanup crew. And if you're grazing throughout the day and not taking time in between meals, the cleanup crew can't do its job. So I see people bloated often from snacking and grazing all day. And that was me. I felt like the only way I could manage my bloat was if I didn't eat full meals. And in fact, the opposite was true.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because people are like, oh, if I eat smaller, more frequent meals and snacks, then I'm going to have a less volume in my stomach and gonna bloat less. And that's not always the case because every single time you eat as well, you're pushing those digestive enzymes into your body. And if you constantly are doing that, you're not giving your gut a break, then you can have some good gas and bloating. So very glad you mentioned that. And I'm actually a firm believer, and of course we all intermittent fast good when we sleep, but I'm a firm believer in having good periods of time to where you're not eating, giving your body time to actually digest your food.
Yes, me too. And this is a hard one for a lot of people, but it does make a world of difference when you're able to actually create that time and space in between meals.
Right. And I think one more thing that people don't think about is actually skipping meals and waiting too long to eat can actually cause bloating and stomach pain as well. I know some people, they, you know, when you hit that 5-6 hour mark, your stomach can actually like start sending out enzymes without any food, waiting for food, and then you have bloating and pain.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that as well, because it's an interesting balance, kind of like the three bears, like not too hot, not too cold.
Right.
You know, wait long enough, but not too long in between meals. So yes, starvation or fasting for too long can definitely affect bloat as well.
So we talked about bloating. Another thing, you guys, too little or too much fiber, sugar, alcohols, they will rip you up.
Yes.
We talked about gum. What else? We're also looking at, of course, food intolerances, food sensitivities, but the stress connection that you mentioned is huge. If you cannot control stress, anything that you do for your gut is not going to work. So let's talk about that stress connection. How does stress affect our digestion?
Yeah, so your gut and your brain are connected through the vagus nerve, and when your gut is stressed, your brain is stressed, and vice versa. And so that's why so many people that struggle with gut issues also struggle with anxiety and depression and other mood-related issues, because they really are connected. You can think of it like if you were about to give a big presentation or you have a game or a track meet or something, and all of a sudden you get really nervous and you're running to the bathroom. That's the perfect example of a gut-brain connection. And so if you think of that in the context of stress and eating, if your brain is constantly stressed, it's not worried about digesting your food. It is worried about being chased by a tiger. So you really have to control stress and get your body into a parasympathetic or relaxed state so that your digestive enzymes can actually be released to do their job in digesting your food, and so that your stomach can take the time to move it through your system instead of thinking, I don't have time to digest this right now. I'm being chased by a bear, so I gotta run.
Yep, definitely. Our bodies do not know what stress is. And I do want to mention for some people, especially with if you have a history of maybe it's disordered eating or trauma that might be actually subconscious kind of trauma, to where you're kind of like scared of the food because maybe there was a bad situation or bad environment that you had the food in. To give you an example, I've choked on pizza once, and I know if I go just like think about pizza or I go into a pizza restaurant, like I'm automatically like subconsciously stressed because I'm like kind of like scared of choking on the pizza. So embarrassing moments, but for sure, just know that underlying stress, whether it's a memory or a thought or food itself, can create food intolerance like symptoms. So sometimes the food that you're eating, it's not the fact that you're intolerant to the food, it's the fact that you're stressed about eating the food. So just things to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I see this with my clients so much, where they see food as a symptom instead of a source of nourishment. So like you mentioned with the pizza, I think you can also think of it, you know, if someone has told you, well, this food is bad for gut health, or this food is should be completely avoided, then someone has that and they're automatically thinking, well, I'm being bad by eating this because so-and-so told me this was bad. And then you have symptoms and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas if you can relax and say, like, I'm going to digest and absorb this food, and like, this food is nourishment for my body versus this food is going to make me bloated, that mindset really affects your gut and your digestion as well.
Exactly. So for you, what would you say are the biggest mistakes people make when they're trying to heal their digestion and their gut?
Honestly, one of the biggest mistakes that I see is people cut too many foods out and they're on a super restricted diet. So it's very easy to look on Dr. Google and, you know, see, okay, this diet recommends to cut these things out, but this diet recommends to cut these things out. And then next thing you know, you have a list of 10 foods that you can eat and you're scared to break out from that, but yet you're still bloated. So I see people staying on ultra restrictive diets for way too long, therefore causing more damage to the gut because our gut needs variety and we need lots of fiber. And you don't get that if you're only eating the same 10 foods over and over again. So that's one of the common things that I see. The other thing that I see is people trying to out-supplement and just not do anything else, just only taking supplements to heal their gut, but not looking at stress management, like we've mentioned, not working on sleep, not working on like trying to not over-exercise. There's so many other things that you have to do to heal the gut. And if you're only taking supplements, it's not going to get better.
Exactly. You can't just like throw in a bunch of enzymes. And I mean, if you just have low pancreatic elastase or low hydrochloric acid, yeah, that might help. But then you have to ask yourself, why is that even low in the first place, right? You have to figure out not only what can I do to get rid of that symptom, but actually focus on healing that gut, the root cause of your issues. So very glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So in regards to other mistakes, probiotics tend to be another one, just band-aiding a probiotic. So can we chat a little bit about probiotics? What are the best probiotics? And is there any validity to their use for specific people and specific issues?
Yeah, great question. So when I was in my doctorate program, this is when I really learned a ton about probiotics because I, like probably many of the listeners, thought probiotics were just like a cure-all for gut issues. Oh, well, if you're bloated, just take a probiotic and it will fix it. But that is not the case because sometimes probiotics could actually make your gut issues worse if you have not addressed the underlying root cause. And the other thing to mention about probiotics is they are strain specific. So you can't just go to CVS and buy some random probiotic and hope that it helps your bloat. You have to take a probiotic that is specific to your issue in order to actually have it make a difference. There's so many different opinions and research on the actual validity of probiotics or the like if they actually even survive the acidity of the gut and how many, you know, if you take like a 50 billion live organism probiotic supplement, if that actually makes it to your gut. And so there is a lot of research currently being done on that. There's tons of research right now being done on spore forming probiotics and if those tend to populate the gut better. But what I will say is you can't just take a probiotic to heal your gut issues. You have to address the underlying issues, and throwing a probiotic at it could make your symptoms worse. And really at the root of it, if you can eat a variety of foods, a variety of fibers, and allow your body to be able to tolerate the fiber that you're eating if you don't currently, that is actually more beneficial. Your prebiotic fibers are actually the food for your probiotics. And so you could, if you're on a super low fiber diet and you're taking probiotics, they're not going to do much for you. So sometimes you're putting the cart before the horse a little if you're taking a probiotic, but then not giving it the food it needs to actually stay in your gut long term.
Exactly. I'm so glad you talked about that. Now, don't get me wrong, there are specific bacterial strains in probiotics that can really help people. So you're looking at something like Lactobacillus plantarum that's in like Gero Ideal Bowel Support that can help with maybe like IBS. Big fan of Espalardi for IBS as well. And then a spore-based may be helpful for IBD or IBS. But when we're looking – or Visbiome is really good for ulcerative colitis. But when we're looking at probiotics, it's not just throwing a probiotic into the mix. It's making sure to address what the underlying cause is again and what else is going on in the gut. So we want to use probiotics for a very scientific purpose, but don't just blindly throw them in, because if you have something like an overgrowth, candida, SIBO, sometimes if you throw in a probiotic, that's like throwing fire fluid on a fire and it's just going to explode. And we do not want that happening, right?
I had a client I was talking to the other day, and she had been recommended to take a certain probiotic by somebody else and took it, and it laid her up in bed for 2 days because she had not addressed the underlying causes, and she has some pretty severe gut issues going on. But I mean, that's obviously an extreme example, but yeah, like you said, you're just adding fuel to the fire if you haven't understood the underlying cause. So I totally am in agreement with you. Probiotics can be a great solution for very specific things, but you have to understand what's going on before you just start loading up on probiotics.
Right. And did you get the email? I know we got emails from, I don't know if you're a member of the Academy of Dietetics, but we got an email from them about some gastro type of, not company, but like group that said probiotics do not have efficacy at this moment. So did you read that?
I don't think I got that email.
I thought it was just so interesting because I was like, there's so much data to prove that they do have efficacy for specific conditions.
Yeah. Well, and that's the papers. So when I was in grad school, my doctorate program, we actually published a series of 9 different papers on probiotics for specific disease conditions, you know, with research, obviously, to support it. So there is research. And but like you said, they're strain specific. So there are specific probiotics for IBS. There are specific probiotics for SIBO. There are specific probiotics for IBD. So you have to really look at that before just taking something random.
Right. Now, what are your thoughts on fermented foods?
I think fermented foods are a great addition to the diet and a great way to boost nutrition, digestibility of food. But once you understand what the underlying gut issues are, I feel like I'm becoming a broken record. But if you have really severe gut issues, fermented foods probably don't agree with your system very much right now. So they can be a great addition towards the end of your gut healing process, and it's really important to add them in once you've solved all of the underlying issues.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, fermented foods are just basically natural probiotic foods that you can add into your diet. Things like kimchi, fermented sauerkraut, fermented pickles. Goodness gracious, love me some fermented sauerkraut.
Me too.
Dill garlic flavor. Woo! Favorite.
I just had some beet sauerkraut.
Ooh.
So good.
Okay. Definitely going to Whole Foods. Picking that one up.
Yeah. And it's hot pink. I mean, who doesn't love hot pink on their eggs in the morning?
Yeah, I know, right? I love it. I love making a cabbage like egg white. Now I'm hungry, but like an egg scramble. And I love getting like the purple cabbage, and it just adds like so much color, and it just makes me so happy. It like turns purple and then blue. And then I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's art.
The things dietitians get excited about.
I know, right? So fermented foods, we know they can be beneficial for some. It also can be throwing that fire fluid on a fire. Also, if you have histamine intolerance and you get some fermented foods, you are going to be causing yourself issues. So just keep that in mind.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, another thing I wanted to talk about, because a lot of people struggle with it, is constipation, which never feels good. So let's chat about what can cause you to be constipated and what are natural, effective treatments that are safe that people can do to help.
Sure. So constipation is probably, with bloat, the number one thing that I see in my practice. And most people in America, I'm not talking about gut people that have gut issues, but I would say the majority of people in our country are constipated solely because they just don't eat enough fiber. So that is like the overarching idea. But if someone has gut issues, their constipation goes a lot deeper than that. So sometimes it could be a motility issue, which motility is basically the contraction and movement of your digestive tract muscles. So and that goes back to the vagus nerve. Since your gut and your brain are connected, if your vagus nerve is weak or you have what's called poor vagal tone, that can affect your gut motility or the movement of stool in your intestines so that you can actually have a bowel movement. And the things that affect that are stress, not sleeping enough, having like negative mindset towards food could definitely do that. Or like people that have chronic laxative use, that can definitely affect motility as well. So I often see motility as a contributor to constipation. Sometimes people are constipated because they have SIBO or they have other underlying gut issues that contribute to it as well. And then constipation can also be caused from eating too much fiber with too little water. So fiber, I think, is becoming very trendy, which is really exciting because it's going to help a lot of people. But most people don't understand that as your fiber increases, your water has to significantly increase or you will be in a world of pain. So those are, I guess, the most common reasons that I would see constipation. And then practical ways to improve constipation. You can actually improve constipation through activating your vagus nerve from gargling or singing at a very high octave, very loudly. You can improve constipation by including more fiber, but slowly building your tolerance and following that up with water. Chia seeds are great for constipation so long as you're drinking plenty of water. You can do gut massages for constipation. There's so many different techniques for that. One that I like to share with my clients is the I Love You massage for relieving constipation. Yeah, those are, I guess, the top reasons and some quick tips. Did I miss anything?
That was so fantastic. I would say, just because I know my listeners are very much, they want to change their body composition and they're also having a high protein intake. And high protein, you need more water. So too much protein, not enough water, you're looking at constipation. We know too little or too much fiber, you're looking at constipation, the huge stress connection. Also, there are some people that they have motility issues because they have poor issues with peristalsis in their intestines, and it can be due to overactive or underactive muscles. I know for me, I've had a bunch of clients to where they have underactive colonic muscles, and that prevents their large intestine from actually pushing that poop down. And so things to keep in mind. Also, some people have issues with nerves, like nerve innervations for some reason are like snipped or not working correctly. So those are just things to also keep in mind. And then methane dominant, quote unquote, SIBO, because it's now we know it's not just in the small bowel, it's also in the large bowel, but SIBO is a huge reason for that as well.
Yes. And I think with like the peristalsis kind of going back to motility, that's where like pelvic floor therapy and like kind of getting a multidisciplinary team can be really helpful in evaluating that and making sure it's not like a anatomical or pelvic floor issue if it does kind of go that far.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because people have looked at me like I'm a quack for mentioning like visceral manipulation therapy and physical therapy. They're like, oh, I don't think I want to go down that route. And I'm like, there's so much power in that and for potentially helping you.
Yes, absolutely. I have a friend who's a pelvic floor PT here in DFW, and she's fantastic for all things pelvic floor.
Oh, that's awesome. Gotta love having a good disciplinary team, that's for sure. I wanted to ask you, what does healthy gut eating mean to you as a practitioner?
Healthy gut eating.
Yes.
I think that means, well, I would say it means eating in a way that is not stressful, first of all, because I see so many people getting on these ultra restrictive diets that just cause them to have more stress. And then we're kind of having the debate of like, is it not working because you're ultra stressed about this, or you have too many food rules about this, or like what's going on? So eating in a way that's not going to create stress, but that creates structure to help balance your blood sugar, balance your energy levels, help you to get good sleep, make sure you're getting enough nutrition throughout the day, and just including a balance of nutrients at each meal, from protein, from fat, fiber, and then lots of different colors in every day. So I think the latest research is showing like 30 different plants a week, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually fairly easy to do. And my clients have found it fun to kind of look at how many they're having and make goals towards creating that. But Yeah, I think something that creates balance, creates flexibility, and allows you to live the life that you want without feeling ultra restricted or super limited on what you can. My goal is to help my clients be able to eat as many foods as possible with as little symptoms as possible.
It's really important to focus on as less restriction as possible. And then always focus on diversity of your plants. Diversity of your plants equals diversity of your gut microbiome, you guys. So eat your plants, colorful fruits and vegetables, switch it up, make sure that you're getting a good variety in your diet. And that would be the top tips for gut health. Awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure to get to chat with you. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, coming on my podcast. Can you tell my listeners where they can find you and follow you? And then if they want to work with you, where they can do that?
The best place to find me is on Instagram at gutbrain.nutrition. You can also find me on my website, which is nourishfunctionalhealth.com. And if you want to work with me, you can click the link in my Instagram bio or on my website to set up a free call to see if we are a good fit, either for one-to-one work or for my small group coaching program.
I love it. Changing lives, girlfriend. It's amazing. So thank you so much for coming on my podcast. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks. You too. Thanks for having me.